You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
This holiday, whether you're making a Kroger Simple Truth turkey for 40 or a Murray's Baked Brie for two, Kroger has fast, fresh delivery and free pickup, so you can make holiday meals that bring you all together to create memories that last. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Free pickup on orders of $35 or more. Restrictions may apply.
Choose from a great selection of digital coupons and use them up to 5 times in one transaction. Check our app for details. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
At the Home Depot, we have the tools for you to give the gift of a smarter home with savings on top brands, like the Google Hub, a command center for your smart devices that raises the IQ of your entire home, or the Nest Learning Thermostat that helps you conserve energy and save on your bill. And if you don't know what to get, gift cards are a smart gift no matter what they get. So this year, gift smarter with savings on tools to make your holiday magic. The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
God, it's Monday, and that means we've got business to talk about, and Manny and I are going to dance because we were right, and a lot of you were wrong. So, yeah. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Daily Cup of Genre here on the Genreverse Podcast Network and the Genreverse YouTube channel. Be sure to follow us on your favorite podcast app and, of course, subscribe to the YouTube channel. I don't need the browser up. I need the base window up, stupid thing. I'm Kyle. That's Manny. There is social media information in front of you down below in the description boxes if you're listening in audio format. Check out the website, lrmonline.com, the LRM YouTube channel for celebrity interviews. And yeah, we got a lot of really great content, so I hope you guys snoop around the channel, snoop around the YouTube channel, the podcast, and check out all the great stuff that we've got. So I said Manny and I would dance because we were right. The first topic that we have, actually, I was right, and then I was wrong, and then Manny was wrong, and then Manny was right, and that's Black Panther Black Panther box office numbers. But what we were both right on will come up a little bit later, dealing with some bad news for Disney employees and shareholders, sort of. Anyways, guys, box office numbers. You know, that's what we like to talk about on Monday mornings. Manny and I are both huge theater fans. We love it when theaters are making money because that means they get to stay open and continue to provide us a venue for entertainment. A few weeks ago, maybe a couple weeks ago, I think I had said Wakanda Forever. I think it's going to push 180, man, 180. And then last week I was like, no, it might make 200. And I think you were at like 140 originally, and then you bumped up to like 180 or something.
175,
180. And yeah, guys, it looks like it's going to make 180.
Yeah, I made 180, yeah.
Monday estimates are in $180 million, and that's domestic, $330-ish worldwide, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, $330 worldwide. Good for Wakanda Forever. Good for theaters. You guys can check out our review of it, as well as Breaking Geek Radio's reviews right here on the YouTube channel. But Manny, what do you think, man? What 180? Not too shabby. A little bit behind Doc Strange, Multiverse of Madness, but that had a whole bunch of gimmicks, nostalgia for Xavier and curiosities about Mr. Fantastic and stuff. So yeah, man, what do you think?
I think it's right around where it was going to be. It has international appeal, which is very evident in the numbers. And they even had a premiere in Mexico. They had a premiere in I don't remember what country in Africa they had a premiere, but they also had a premiere there. So there's a lot of almost if you compare it to like a Black Adam, which is just kind of at this point with everything going on, just kind of a random superhero thrown out versus a Black Panther Wakanda Forever, which I mean on so many levels it hits, because number one is it's the final movie in Phase 4. So is there
Nigeria, that's where it had a premiere.
Thank
in,
you.
In Nigeria.
Like where, you know, where, is it going to do anything for the end of Phase 4, which no, it didn't.
It is not multiversal,
but who cares? That's not what we're there for. I had the sentimental value of honoring and wanting to see the way characters, actors, Disney, Marvel handled the passing the torch, the remembrance, the honoring of Chadwick Boseman. And then also it had this like growing hype that I think, based on what I saw, social media is growing even much more now after the first weekend. Is
my camera just died, ladies and gentlemen?
And that might be a great thing for you viewers. You don't have to see us.
Yeah, anymore. It would be amazing for them.
And then the final thing was that I was talking about the emergence of Neymar, Namor, and the Telokans, and how important that is, and how big it's been just media for representation, and for, you know, just to see that amazing culture that for the longest time was suppressed and has been suppressed by, you know, things that happened in history. Cool. It's just good. It just makes me happy that people are going out to the theater. My concern now is going forward. It's not really a concern. It's just more of a curiosity. Actually, I used the wrong word. Is because of its runtime, does it get multiple views?
That is the fact that the runtime, and we said this in our review, at least I did. There's a lot in here that I think could potentially be cut differently, but I'm not exactly sure how. There's a lot of exposition that is necessary. There's a lot of moments like you pointed out that emotional moments where you're gonna, you know, hang out with a character, just watching them feel for a bit. You know, or again, necessary. You don't necessarily want to cut them too short, but some people want to look at certain side stories and stuff. But yeah, I see that point. I definitely would not go see this again in theaters, mostly because of the runtime. But this is one of the first Phase 4 films that I think I want to see again when it hits home video. Not necessarily, I gave it a B+, not necessarily because I loved it or anything, but I'm curious as to how it will hold up.
Well, I saw it again this weekend, and you know what I found is that you can, and then it's funny because it's like, oh, okay, the only reason we had this in there is because we want to promote Thunderbolts. When you take away all that U.S. government stuff kind of in between, not necessarily in the beginning, because you don't need it. Like, like the rest of the world has nothing to do with this film. It would have been just as easy for, given their technology, for Shuri to have been, her location been discovered by the beads, which I think they were anyway. Actually, now I think about it, but like taking away all those government moments, I think like they wouldn't have changed it. Because I was thinking, I was like, okay, what if we take away the conversation between Jesus, I talk at names, Okoye and I forget her name.
The queen?
No. She was in Haiti.
Nakia.
Nakia, thank you. Well, it's too early for me, guys. I barely have my coffee. having that, I was like, would that conversation be like important? But then it's like kind of a dull moment to set up the attack. Mm-hmm. And so like there's a lot of times where I, like this time we'll go around, I was like, okay, now that I got through it and that, you know, I'm not as emotionally invested.
Yeah.
I was like, let me look at where we can cut things. And it's still very difficult to do.
Because of the way they wrote it.
Mm-hmm.
But you're like, if you had written certain things a little differently, like you pointed out the stuff with Val and Martin Freeman's character.
It really didn't really add anything. So
yeah, and they wrapped it so much into the Riri Williams aspect of it, and you're just like, you didn't really need to, you know, you really didn't.
Yeah, because really didn't it's not like he even besides like a couple of seconds that he meets with Okoye. And with Shuri, and then like with Okoye, like he's kind of an unfactor, but like, is it something that we're setting up where like the Thunderbolts are gonna go after Wakanda or something, or
something? I don't.
And know. I'm like, oh, okay.
What's
you
her
guys...
name is such an annoying and waste of space character so
yeah,
far.
Yeah, I agree. I 100% agree. Val. It's great value, if not worse. It's great value, Amanda Waller.
Yeah,
like
great. I just got what you meant by great value, but bargain brand. Got
yeah,
it.
A bargain brand thing. Well, yeah. So Walmart. People.
I was like, she is not a great.
No,
brand.
No, like Walmart. You know.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even call it the Up and Up brand from Target. That's a little too high. Because they're trying.
She's
really
the Amazon Basics.
it's one of the it's one of those characters that like. For once, like DC wins, it's like, okay, like Amanda Waller is like, but Viola Davis, like, you can't really, like, that's a whole other can of worms. She's just better, way better of an actress anyway. Nothing against whoever plays Val, but yeah.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Thank you. Just theaters were packed. That was nice to see.
Yeah, mine weren't.
you live sucked. In a terrible place. For
they are.
They
are
you,
right
man.
Now. It is
because
unless I'm willing to go to the IMAX theater or the theater that has the IMAX screen out in Virginia Beach, and I'm not traveling all that way.
Like local theaters here, we're doing really really well, and then you know the big theaters, the when I was at Regal, it was packed. On Friday, we even did a story on the fact that some of the schools. Some of the schools were taking kids because it was Veterans Day off. So through mm-hmm. some programs, actually, they paid for students and their families to go to screenings of Wakanda That's Forever. And it was also sponsored by Maya Theaters. Give them a shout out just because of the fact they did that. It's really cool. So it was an event for a lot of folks here. And it's nice. It's nice. And I'm happy and I'm lucky that. The Central Valley, they love going to the movies because while my girlfriend and I relish empty theaters, and which is why we usually go at like 11 in the morning, 10:30 showing, the first showing to get it out of the way. I personally at the same time love reactions, love to hear a crowd getting into it. The
me too.
The eerie silence at the beginning of the movie.
Oh yeah,
when the Marvel credits are low,
yeah,
man, that was like, it's one thing to see being a press room where you're like you're kind of with people who like are invested, but at the same time kind of like doing the job. It's another thing to be in a room full of adults, teenagers, and kids,
and hear dead
and
silence.
Hear dead silence in a theater. And that was a very very eerie feeling.
Yeah, I can agree. It was. For all 20 some of us when I went, it was dead silent. I'm fairly certain the other showing, I went to the 3 p.m. showing. That's kind of early, others were at Thursday though.
So that's
on
kind
a
of
Thursday. So the other ones, I'm sure were probably better. But my theater that I usually go to has been on the downward trend for a bit. Last little look at these numbers. Black Adam coming in second, falling because of Wakanda Forever. Made $8.6 million. $150 million domestically with a $352 million worldwide. This movie is still losing money as of right now. If you go by the general 2 to 2.5 times production budget to break even, there's all sorts of things that go in with the ticket cost share changes week to week. Certain movies share more with the theaters on certain weeks than the studios the other weeks. So Black Panther had $190 million production budget. You're needing it to roughly make $380 to like $410 to break even, and it's not looking so hot, especially since I heard that it might not get a Chinese release, though. Manny,
it's not getting a Russian release either.
So I don't know if it makes... I honestly don't know if Black Adam breaks even. I don't.
Oh, Black Adam? Oh, yeah. No, I don't think it will.
That's what I'm saying. So Wakanda Forever, on the other hand, just a quick Google search here at the top, $250 million production budget, which means you need a 500 to $550-$575 to break even. That one I think has a really good where did my numbers go? Has a really good chance of doing when it's already sitting at 330 worldwide in its first weekend. So it needs another 200 and change, 200 million and change to break even and then go into the black and make money. And in that term, guys, I was using black and like black and red for financial data. So yeah, it sucks for Black Adam. But, whew, man.
The thing is, theaters needed this. Yeah, the thing about Black Adam, though, is that, like, nobody was invested in that movie.
Other than The Rock.
And, yeah, but the problem is that he kept telling us about it for, like, 10 years.
I know. The Flash might suffer the same.
And it was ridiculous. Well, I don't know. That one's going to...
I said might.
Okay. That might do a little bit better. Because I think they're gonna pour a lot more into it as far as marketing, and as far as kind of,
are they gonna put Ezra at the front?
No, I think they're going to. I think what they're gonna end up doing is kind of showcase it as the new beginning.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of what they're working out now, is kind of reshooting a few things to kind of showcase what's coming up, and I think that, you know, it's something that we can be excited for because of the fact that, I mean, you got James Gunn like asking people on social media, what do you guys want? And like, what do you guys want? And it's like, wow, okay, like, hey, thank you for a fine, you know,
give me the Snyderverse.
Yeah, no, don't do that. You're gonna wake them up. Yeah, don't do that.
Stirring shit.
Yeah, but it's like, hey, just give me,
I don't
give
really
me,
want the Snyderverse, give me, ladies and
you
gentlemen.
Know, just
sorry,
let just
sorry.
Let Matt Reeves do his thing. Give me more Peacemaker, and just a good old fashioned Man of Steel movie. Like, give me Brainiac. Hell, give me Mongol if you want. Like, that'd be kind of cool. Even though it kind of looks a little bit like Planet Hulk because he has a whole fight thing going, but it's still pretty cool.
No, you're gonna get Man of Steel 2, Bizarro World.
That's gonna be kind of cool. Also, I like Bizarro.
Eventually, but we do need Brainiac before we get.
I think
Bizarro
so.
In my opinion, and I'm not even a Supes fan.
Brainiac would be a good way to like bring in a couple of other characters too, because usually with the Brainiac, you'd want to have like you can have Supergirl involved, and maybe even introduce a Steel. and do something like that, because you kind of missed the boat in introducing him with when Superman was dead, because that's kind of when he did his best work. But
Battle of the Supermen.
Right, yeah,
Reign,
just
Reign of the Superman.
So like Black Adam, it's like, okay, so what does it do? Like, if anything, it got help from the fact that people found out that Superman was going to be it. Hell, he had to say it out loud beforehand. I told you it was a an entire marketing plan because of the fact that I just don't think it had enough momentum.
There wasn't enough buzz.
It was like if something that Batman has always done well, and Spider-Man too, both Spider-Man and Batman, which is why they are two of the most popular characters, is the fact that you don't just go for the superhero.
Right.
A lot of times you want to see the Green Goblin, you want to see the Joker.
Going for the villain.
You want to see the Riddler. You know, you want to see the Sinister Six or whoever it is going to be. Venom. Would you like Venom?
As long as it's not a Sinister Six movie or another Venom movie, we don't want that.
Well, they haven't done the Sinister Sticks. The Stick movie.
Freaking Sony wants to. You know they do. Amy Pascal's like a dog with a two choy that says Sinister Six, and she has not let it go since that dumbass idea came to whoever's brain.
The Sinister Six are cool, but yeah.
They are, as Spider-Man villains. Not as a freaking Suicide Squad Guardians team.
Yeah, don't
no.
do that.
Screw that.
That'd be a terrible thing to do.
I hate you, Sony.
Let me see. I got to go back because I went 10 steps to Kevin Bacon, and I don't remember how to get back.
We were talking about Black Adam and how it just didn't have the buzz.
Yeah, no, it's just... It's just DC's in a really weird limbo place right now, and it's okay, but at least they're getting it. Like, you can see that they're getting it all together.
When you drive the brand ranked number one in dependability by JD Power, you can stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see yourself behind the wheel of the brand ranked number one in dependability by JD Power. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Kia received the fewest reported problems among all brands in the J.D. Power 2022 U.S. Vehicle Dependability Study based on 2019 models. See jdpower.com/awards for 2022 details.
It's here. Peloton's best offer of the season. Get up to $300 off accessories when you purchase a Peloton Tread. Choose from accessories like a heart rate monitor, non-slip grip dumbbells, yoga blocks, and more. If you've been looking for a sign to join Peloton, this offer gives you everything you need to get going. Hurry! Peloton's best offer of the season is here, but not for long. Visit onepeloton.com to learn more. All access membership separate. Limited time offer cannot be combined with other offers. See additional terms at onepeloton.com.
Meanwhile, over at Disney, something you mentioned earlier, you know, just kind of relying on that that streaming service and... hiking up prices for everything, not necessarily working out for them, is it?
No, it is not. So this is where Manny and I get to dance. Here I go.
We're not dancing. I just want to make this clear. We don't want to be right
losing their
about
jobs
this
or anything.
Like that is not. No. That is not what we're saying. But what we are saying is that it's unsustainable what they're doing.
I'm happy. It's just my I told you so dance.
Oh, yeah.
It's my I was right dance.
You know,
I'm not
happy
about it.
You're not
going to
Michael Caine it and say, I told you so.
I told you so. So here's the thing. As I've got up, CEO Bob Chapek sent out a letter, okay, to staff saying basically hard times are coming. We're going to have to make some cuts. We're going to have to make some hard decisions. And let me read some of this here. OK, he goes, as we begin, this is from Chapek to his team. As we begin fiscal 2023, and I might paraphrase some of this just to make it easier for my reading, want to communicate with you directly about the cost management efforts Christine McCarthy and I referenced on this week's earnings call. Efforts will help us to achieve the important goals of profitability for Disney Plus and more efficient and nimble, becoming a more efficient and nimble company. Overall, the work is occurring against economic uncertainty, we're all facing that, back into the thing, that all companies, hey, look, are, and our industry are contending with. He goes in to talk about the macro economics. That's the big stuff that's out of our control, things with supply chains and labor issues and whatnot. It goes, to be clear, I'm confident in our ability to reach targets that we have set, and in this management team to help us get there. Now, before I go in a little bit more, those goals included making Disney Plus profitable by 2024, and includes certain, you know, set goals for parks and other aspects of the company. But that streaming one is important. They're supposed to make it profitable by the end of 2024. Remember, Disney Plus started in 2019. To help us, guide us on our journey, I've established a cost structure task force of executive officers, including CFO McCarthy mentioned earlier. Along with me, the team will make the big critical big picture decisions. Okay, so that's the big goals for the company. Hey, we're going to need X amount of cuts from this department, X amount of cuts across the board in this way, and then your management teams in those areas start doing the nitpicky, the line by line. Says, first, we have undertaken a rigorous review of the company's content and marketing spending with our content leaders and their teams. While we will not sacrifice quality or strength of our unrivaled synergy machine, we must ensure our investments are both efficient and come with tangible benefits to both audiences and companies. So that's the first thing they want to do, Manny. That right there, to me, is we're not going to make as much as we used to, and what we make has got to appeal to the biggest biggest common denominator, the biggest crowds that we can possibly get. What do you take out of that first, and what do you think that means for some of this Marvel and Star Wars stuff?
Well, I think my first takeaway is stop releasing things exclusively on Disney Plus. My second one is let us buy physical copies of your damn Disney Plus shows.
Yes.
And maybe it'll make some more money. I think that part of it is just the arrogance of them being Disney and thinking that they can just get through the pandemic and get through a certain amount of things based on their name alone, and the fact that they can just say we can raise park prices, all this other stuff, and the people are going to eat it up because we have them in the palm of our hands. Mm-hmm. Which, to some degree, if you look at parks still, they do. They got overconfident and really this pompous attitude with that dumb Galactic Cruiser.
Oh, which, God, yes.
Which has been an absolute train wreck of a failure, because nobody wants to pay $5,000 for that kind of experience.
No.
And that kind of is where I'm going as far as the showing, because also Avengers Campus is kind of put together.
I've heard it's mid as hell, and that's modern.
It's put together like a what I've heard several people just call it as, and nothing against Six Flags, because Six Flags is for roller coasters and high thrills and things like that. But as far as like their entertainment rides, it's kind of a Six Flags level Justice League ride.
Jeez.
Which is Justice League ride at Six Flags. It's kind of fun, yeah. Just to be in that kind of area, but it's kind of it's super lame. And that's what I've heard about Spider-Man ride. And by the looks of it, like, it's like, okay, you're gonna go to PIM, you're gonna go to eat at the cafe or whatever.
Yep.
Like, I feel like people force themselves to like it. That's what it feels like.
Yes, like Apple fans. I'm looking at you guys.
Actually, I can't cuss anymore on this, but my products don't fail me. And I've been very happy with them. And every time I've upgraded,
you're completely okay having your tech nerfed, having software nerfed, having someone else control what you can do with your $1,000. It's not Tuesday.
My Apple Watch is working fine. My Apple phone's working. Everything talks to each other great.
I could have devices from all sorts of things.
You can have it hacked by a billion people.
Open source. No.
Yeah, let everybody in. It's cool.
Yeah, you don't even know. Be quiet, Manny. Yeah, anyways, let's get back into this second. Second thing he. Oh, go.
No, no,
go
ahead. Yeah, no, it's fine. Okay. I didn't know there was a second.
Second thing that they're wanting to do is limiting headcount additions through a targeted hiring freeze. That's real simple. That's always one thing that a company is going to do, especially large companies like this. They'll backfill necessary positions, but they're not going to be putting out any more hiring for new projects or anything. It's going to come into a lot more of their third step, which is reorganizing, an opportunity to transform the organization to be more nimble. The task force will drive this work in partnership with segment teams to achieve both savings and organizational enhancements. That is code for layoffs and consolidation, restructuring. That's what that code is.
So you know what that means? In just in simple terms,
sure,
means everybody's having more work to do.
Yes, they also point out that they're going to limit things like business travel, requiring further approval for like in-person work sessions that require travel and stuff. Basically, and this is something that I wish the United States government could do, in the military especially, if it can be done on a Zoom call, do it on a Zoom call. All of these pay for per diem for food and travel, for gas or for flights, rental vehicles, hotels, all of that stuff. And this goes to every Fortune 500 company, the U.S. military, especially you, Army, that's because that's what I was in, and the government as a whole. If it can be done on a Zoom call, there's no need for a single step to be taken. Use the Zoom call. Think about the billions that can be saved across the economy if you just do that. Now, that's not me saying everything should go to Zoom calls. If you are in a local business, go to work and have your meetings at your local business. You'd be surprised how many people not working for your company rely on you to work in that building for their own job, from maintenance to custodial to contractors for all sorts of things. So, but yeah, we're looking. So what we're looking at is a spending reduction in content and other aspects of the parks. I'm sure we're looking at a hiring freeze, and then we're looking at restructuring and layoffs, and all of this because it takes money to make stuff. And for a while, they've been spending money making stuff, and we, the audience, we have not been paying enough back into the system to get more stuff without these. And yes, there's a lot of factors that go into this. The economy sucks. We have record inflation. So even though you may have gotten a giant pay raise in the last 2 years, or a series of pay raises in the last 2 years, inflation has wiped that out. But like Manny pointed out, there's simple things they could do to make a few extra dollars, especially off of us super nerds. Release The Mandalorian on Blu-ray. I'm buying it day one. Here's my money. Take it. I have a little bit of disposable income right now, thank God. Oh, take it. You know what I'm saying? I could buy a Blu-ray set. I could buy a Blu-ray disc set. And seriously, if you can spend the money, even if it's as simple as you don't live at your family's house anymore, get your own Disney Plus subscription instead of sharing. Like literally, those tiny little things all add up to a drop in the bucket, but they still matter more in your as being a responsible consumer, if that makes sense. Because it's going, if you guys want more stuff on Disney Plus, they've got to make money off of it somehow. And here's the sad fact. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't. You cannot make enough until they start doing required long-term contracts like you used to have to get with your cable company, HBO or whatever. Ads across the board. Like no matter what tier you get, that will come one day. Mark my word. What is today? No, November 14th, 2022. It's not the first time I've said it, but it will come, ladies and gentlemen. Ads. Regardless of tier, even if it's just in-house Disney ads for your premium membership or whatever, you're going to start seeing tied ads for everything on Disney Plus if you don't pay a certain amount. Contracts and ads are going to come because that your subscription, your pennies get shared amongst all of the projects. You might be subscribed for Marvel, you're still paying for Disney Kids stuff to be on Disney Plus. Like the pool is spread real thin, guys. This is simple economics, and to everyone that goes off on the whole, well, they're a $1 billion company, they can afford this, that, and the other. Sometimes, yes, depending on the economy. Right now, Disney can't really afford jack. And even if you reduce all of their C-suite salaries 50%, 60%, 70%, you're still not a drop in the bucket of what what they're potentially losing creating all this content that they make nothing off of through subscriptions.
And do you think
they're in the red on it?
It's like, and what do you think of fans in general think of that? Because we just got done praising Black Panther about it, you know, the amount of money it's bringing in and the amount of money it's going to bring in,
mostly for theaters, because yeah, the studios
no not mostly for theaters do not get a big cut,
no I'm saying us being happy.
Yeah, oh,
we're happy.
Well, no, I'm happy
mostly for theaters.
I'm happy for Disney too. I don't,
well, yeah,
yeah, no, what I'm saying is
I want more content.
Exactly. What I'm saying is, we just got done talking about how much money they made there. We talk a lot about how, you know, some of their park experiences and things that are going on. We talk about a lot of their Disney Plus shows that are coming out weekly and things like that. So, and people are buying passes. I've seen lines for just for days for certain things, and yet somehow they're not making money. Something wrong there.
Well, because it costs so much money to produce things, like we said, Black Panther: Wakanda Forever had a $250 million production budget. That's not including the marketing, and we know that movie also had a lot of issues. Letitia Wright had gotten hurt. There was production issues there, so that's why we said that movie needs to make, you know, $550 million. I believe it will, but the fact that it needs to do that minimum. Oh, yeah. And then you look at all the money that was lost on past movies or movies that just barely made $13 million in profit. You know, I'm just throwing out a small number out there for things like Thor or Doc Strange. Strange almost made $1 billion, so whatever on that one. But it all adds up, and someone's like, well, this movie made, Doc Strange, this movie made almost $1 billion. Okay, but how many hundreds of millions did it take to make everything? When it all shuffles down, when it all settles, and you look at these quarterly earnings calls, yearly earnings calls that they do as well, you guys would notice a hell of a lot slimmer profits than you might expect. And while the numbers may seem astronomical to an individual when you're talking about companies of this size, and this is not us simping for them in any other mean or in any other way than, without them, we don't get content. I'm always simping for myself. I want to be entertained. I just happen to have a slight grasp on the economic side of it, the business side of it, because I'm a nerd for that shit. And yeah, guys, it's rough.
Yeah, it's super rough, and it's just, like I said, it's just kind of annoying because you know how much money they bring in, and yet they can't, and they almost, like, they're too big, and it's really not helping them.
The biggest thing is spending on creating things at the parks that don't work, or creating content for Disney Plus that just does not make money. I mean, the only way you make money.
I cannot wait to be able to talk a little bit about Disenchanted. I cannot talk about it yet, but that's a perfect example. I think Hocus Pocus 2 was actually that's probably right on the where it should have been. She-Hulk, I think, is an example of kind of wasted potential. Hawkeye is another one I think was wasted potential. Why you even bothered with the Eternals? you could have made so many other. You could have done a bunch of other things.
You know what I'm scared of? In 10 years, when everyone is like, "Oh, the Eternals was the best Marvel movie of Phase 4. Yeah, it was so great. It was so underrated. That is an underrated gem, as the idiots say about Spider-Man 3. That's right.
Spider-Man 3 is terrible from it. That is horrendous.
Garbage.
And then so. Yeah, it's kind of annoying, to be honest. And I think it'd be interesting to know when decisions for like Prey and Hellraiser were made, if they were very, very early on, where you set the budget in a way that it's streaming, because those were huge wasted opportunities as far as potential theater releases, where you could have done a little bit more with them, especially Prey. I think a Predator movie, it's almost like it should have been a no duh. That was going to be, especially because it's such an auditory experience where you're listening to a bunch of sounds. Like, listening to that in an Atmos theater or a RPX theater would have been great. But we did not get that.
Instead, you had to hear it on your
my soundbar is cool though, so whatever. Like, I paid good pandemic money for my sound system, so I'm good. You know, it's still a weird world we live in, and I think as much as we were like 2022, let's see what happens. I think as we now start getting into 2023, we'll get a better idea of what's really going on. You know, the movie I'm very curious about is Ant-Man and the Wasp in whatever the hell they decided to title it this time.
Quantumania.
Whatever. point being, I'm very curious as how much of the volume was used, and just how kind of the characters just look like they're in a, you know, like a soundstage with the volume, instead of being in actual locations. Which, granted, I get it. Can't be in the quantum realm. But
I know what you mean, though.
You know what I mean, like that.
A fully CGI world, basically. We're dangerously close to what Lucas did with the prequel trilogy, where it's like, the ground is real, and this arch thing is real, and then nothing but blue and green screens everywhere else.
Well,
and,
I mean, they do that now with the Mandalorian, still
trash. So.
Disney does it now still with their with all their projects, because of the, you know, because they have those volumes, which they look fine, but at the same time it's like for a movie,
CGI's been rough for a while now, guys.
But there's in Black Panther, for example, there's one scene in particular which was a very important scene where the CGI is rough, and that's when Namor is rallying the troops. That was
underwater throne.
Yeah, that was a terrible CGI moment, which which took me out of a very important moment, which kind of annoyed me. That's where we are, I guess. I mean, we're still gonna chug along. They still have Avatar: The Way of Water, which is a Disney thing.
When is that release?
December. Who the heck cares? Because I'm not gonna. So it's funny. My daughter and I December talk so much 16th, crap about it.
So we're a month out.
It's not like we talk so much crap about it, and then we're like, "Hey, you know, we're probably gonna watch this in 3D and IMAX, right?" And they were just laughing because, hey, it's like one of those things where I'm there for the experience, not the film. But at the same time, it's kind of bored with it. So
let's do a super early prediction. What do you think Avatar The Way of Water makes domestic opening weekend? And then we'll do kind of like we did with Black Panther and the week of release. We will see if we adjust our numbers. I even wrote it in the it's going to be hard to focus. I wrote it in the book. I'm writing in the book. What do you think?
I'll go 119.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I am going to go ahead and shoot high this time, and I'm going to try and hope that I don't have to miss it. I think this makes 200 million opening weekend.
Yeah, no. You don't have that same Marvel.
Makes 200 million, and I'm going to keep why a secret. I'm writing down why right now. And I'm going to leave that until the week of release.
So you're telling me that Avatar is going to make more than Multiverse of Madness.
Yes.
It's going to make more than Wakanda Forever. It's going to make more than Jurassic World.
I'm not saying that it's a good thing or that it's because it's, good movie. I've got a reason written down right behind where you guys can't see it. And that's my prediction. Anyways,
that's my prediction,
and we will see a week before if I feel like changing it. But
I'm sure you will. I am 100% sure you will. I kind of wrote it a backhanded compliment to it in my piece, where it's just like, there's one more movie that could potentially make money. Because I really consider Black Panther the last blockbuster of the year. I won't even go as far as to consider Avatar a blockbuster. Hey, just really we'll quick see. Because sure. It deserves a little bit of spotlight. Number 5 in the top 5 this week, Smile.
Yep.
It's still there. Yeah, it may be bringing in very little bit, but it's still around. What a surprise.
Yeah, as we wrap up the show, guys, I want to say thanks to all 1,100 of the YouTube subscribers. It's been a fun journey where we've got a goal of 10,000 by Christmas of next year. So please help us reach that. Share us with some friends and family. Get the word out that the Genreverse exists and that it's got a lot of great content like the Daily Cup of Genre and Breaking Geek Radio, your two potpourri cover anything and everything in entertainment, geeky pop culture news, opinions and reviews. We have Marvel Multiverse Mayhem. Nick and I should be covering some news week to week for you guys until there's something else from Marvel to review. The Cantina doing Andor reviews as well as Star Wars news and rumors. Anime Versal and AVR Squared got you covered for anime reviews and reactions. Genre Shot trailer reactions. What am I missing? I don't think I'm missing anything. We got that, and all of the reviews and podcasts go up on apps like Spotify and Google, Apple, and of course the website lrmonline.com. go there every day for all entertainment news, needs, opinions, written reviews, leaks and rumors that usually Cam finds from relatively reliable sources, and we'll run those as well. So one stop shop for all things in entertainment. Manny, anything else you want to put out or say?
Spay
and neuter your dogs and cats.
Yeah.
Oh my guys.
It's here. Peloton's best offer of the season. Get up to $300 off accessories when you purchase a Peloton Tread. Choose from accessories like a heart rate monitor, non-slip grip dumbbells, yoga blocks, and more. If you've been looking for a sign to join Peloton, this offer gives you everything you need to get going. Hurry. Peloton's best offer of the season is here, but not for long. Visit onepeloton.com to learn more. All access membership separate. Limited time offer cannot be combined with other offers. See additional terms at onepeloton.com.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino online.
I was only playing for fun, so winning was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's favorite free online social casino. You too could have the chance to win life-changing cash prizes. Absolutely anybody could be like Mary. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and play for free now. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of the winner.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.